Now let's proceed from there. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And I think that, again, is another one of the lovely things that Paul did. And by the way, you want to know the position you should get in to pray? Kneel. And we kneel down on the shore and pray. And again, I'm not contending for a form. I don't believe in that type of thing. I think you can pray anywhere. Since I drive a great deal and I'm by myself on many of these trips where I go and speak, I've learned to pray in the car. And friends, when you drive the freeways of Southern California, you better learn to pray. And I found out that's a good place to pray, by the way. Now, when we move on here, when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and that's Acre, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. I often wondered why Paul didn't stay there longer than that. But you'll notice the marvelous reception given to him and the number of believers that there were at this particular time. I honestly feel, friends, that there were millions of believers in the Roman Empire by the end of the first century. Now, will you notice verse 8, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. Now, if you're following your map, either the one I have in my notes or one in your Bible or another one that you could get, you will notice, I'm sure, that Paul is going down the coast from one place to another. Now, I've driven that by bus, but there was no bus running in Paul's day, so he walked it, I'm sure, this particular section. And what a ministry he had. And just think of the believers on the way. The number of believers that he met. My, what a ministry and what an opportunity. And I wonder if I might inject something rather personal at this particular point. I felt that I've had my richest and ripest ministry since I retired. And I've had the privilege of going from church to church, town to town, city to city, place to place, ministering the Word of God. And I'm thrilled. As I go around, and here's a fine pastor and a fine church, and I have the privilege of being with them for a week of ministry and meeting the people, and it's a great encouragement to you. You know, when I just had my nose to the grindstone, I sometimes developed an Elijah complex. And you know what that is? I only am left. I'm by myself. I'm the only one standing for you, Lord. And friends, if you could go over the ground I've been over, it would thrill your heart to know the number of wonderful churches, wonderful Christian works, wonderful Christian homes, wonderful Christian believers that they are in this country and in other countries. I've been in several others. And I want to tell you what a thrill it has been to my own heart to meet these believers. And I think of Paul going down the coast here. Now notice he's come now to Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Philip the Evangelist now, and that means he was a teacher. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now that was the gift in the early church of prophecy. See, there's no written New Testament yet, friends. So that reveals that women did occupy a prominent place in the church. When we get to the epistle to the Philippians, I'm going to dwell on that and probably say something rather radical and revolutionary. And now that I'm not a pastor, I can say it and get by with it because nobody can get after me. So we'll save that when we get to the epistle to the Philippians.